This is the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our active military, veterans, and families. Welcome to the show, where your destiny is our mission.
Hello and welcome to the Engage Your Destiny podcast, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, serving our military, veterans, and their families. Guys, your destiny is our mission, and we want to see it lived out every single day, that Jesus would work in your lives and that your destiny would be lived out and engaged fully. We are doing a little debrief today, me and my beloved, my bride, Miss Rachel Peterson. What's up, Rach?
Hi, Ben.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great.
It's been a minute since we've done one.
It has been, but I've been thoroughly enjoying your debriefs with Sylvester.
With the Sil Man?
Learning about some football.
Yeah, we threw some football in there. Couldn't help it. It was free agency. Dude, that was a lot of fun. Now the Vikings have two first-round picks in this draft. It's exciting. Sylvester's got Kirk Cousins. He's still hurting about it, but he'll get over it. Honey, do you have any thoughts on the current NFL state right now?
I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, she has zero interest whatsoever. So, to make the best use of our time, you gave a phenomenal message. This was your first message at Engage, not your first time preaching, but your first time with our soldiers. And just want to hear from you, like, how was the experience? I know you had soldiers that were coming up to you afterwards and, you know, had things that they wanted to just, like, share with you that were on their hearts. So, we had countless people come to you and say, this hit me deep, like, you messed me up, you know? How was the experience for you delivering such a powerful message on resurrection?
I mean, that's the power of Christ.
Right.
It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But
you took on a weighty topic too, by the way.
It was too weighty.
The resurrection of Christ.
You made me. Yeah. You made me. But just in my prayer, I mean, how do you distill something so massive down to one talk? We could spend all year on it. Mm-hmm. And what he's done for us and what that means for us and how to live into that and realize that. And it's I think it's weighty because we see in our culture, we don't necessarily see that victory. And sometimes there's lifelong Christians who've never experienced the breakthrough that they've been praying for. And
right.
So you know, it's a weighty topic.
And it's a death to life message, right? And
yeah.
It's a death to life focus. And, you know, in the military, we deal with a lot of death.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the symbols, the military symbols, the different unit or division or brigade symbols, they have a lot of death connotations to them. The skulls, or I've even seen witchcraft ones, like, mm-hmm. or like pictures of demons. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, when they'd go out on convoys and, you know, I was on a few of them, they were playing Highway to Hell and, running with the devil and stuff like that. And there's a lot of death in the military. And so I just think that there's so much with this topic around bringing death to life, because that is what Jesus did. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And as we're getting ready for Easter, and it's just right around the corner, you know, it's our time to start meditating and to be thinking about, what are the areas of my life that are dead? What are the ones that I thought have died? What are the ones that I think that couldn't come back? Or, you know, any of those areas as we're entering into really what's the most sacred time of the Christian faith.
Yeah. And especially, you know, just because we hear a lot of what our soldiers are walking through, and it's death, like what you're sharing, but it's also the death in their life, like the death of a spouse or child or a marriage,
mm-hmm.
The death of a family dream, or maybe they got injured and now they have to get out of the military.
Or they can't serve and go to the school they wanted to go to.
And so death can look like a lot of different things. And with death comes grief and the victory is what's on the other side of that grief.
Amen. And so, you know, as someone's listening to this, Rachel, you know, and let's say that they've listened to your message, you know, and you're talking about being with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
becoming like Jesus, believing in Jesus, and they are walking through an extremely dark, broken time where the death of a dream or the death of a spouse or a friend or something is right in their face. What would you say to them as the first thing that they need to think about, focus on? What would you say to their heart in the midst of what they're going through?
I would say God can handle it. No matter what you're feeling, he can handle it all. Like in the case of a death of a spouse or a child, like there's a lot of things that surface or dream, like anger, confusion, like why, and questions that come up that ultimately when we're story machines, we have naturally, we have to find someone to blame. We see that in the story of Genesis, that once there was sin and God came to them, what was the first thing that we did?
Blamed each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so God can handle our blame as well, mm-hmm. as long as we stay close to him.
Yeah.
He will be kind in that process of navigating our emotions. He can handle it. So I would say he can handle it. Just be with him. Even if you don't have words, even if you can't cry out and you don't know what your prayer is going to be, even if you're overwhelmed and you're finding yourself unable to do basic tasks or how you're going to move forward.
Yeah.
I would say that this is the time to get close. This is the time to get to know him, to get close to him. This is the time where your faith is the most important thing. Nothing else that you could possibly cling to will get you through. And certainly nothing else will bring victory on the other side.
Right. You know, and it's quite coincidental that, you know, we're on this topic right now because we experienced a death in the last 2 weeks.
We did.
Rachel and I had a miscarriage last weekend. Mm-hmm. And
as I was preparing for this message.
As you were preparing for this message. And that was our first miscarriage after, you know, we had our son. That was the first, you know, we got pregnant.
Which, praise God.
You know, and so we've been blessed in that. But, you know, I think what I would say as like a parallel to what you just spoke about, right, that God can handle it. I would also say, don't walk it alone.
That's right.
Because we went through this miscarriage and we both had low moments. And there were times where I was low and feeling guilt around it and you were strong for me. And then there were times where you were feeling low and you were struggling and I was saying, hey, you know what? This is a sign that you have a healthy body. It's working the way that it's supposed to. You know, pregnancy obviously wasn't the body's doing what it's supposed to, and it's flushing out. You know, yes, it's the loss of a life, but it's also one that wouldn't have been healthy, right? And so, you know, we need to trust God because this is God's miracle, and birth and life is God's miracle. And so I was able to be strong for you. And so this is where we need to be two by two, as Jesus always sent the disciples out in two by two, but also with these challenges that we go through in life, of actual death to life, where we can be strong for each other. And very, very rarely, I mean, it's almost never, are we both in the pit at the same time. It's typically one of us, and then the other one's kind of pulling and saying, hey, we can do this, right? And that's why if you are going through it, don't go through it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, I mean, for your scenario, even, you know, we could put our faith and, you know, trust that it was God's design doing with the body, but, you know, say you've lost someone you deeply love, not like a miscarriage, that can be harder to wrestle with.
Right.
But how I view it, and I touched on this in the message, is when I'm navigating things and I can't see clearly because the enemy has assaulted me with doubt my entire life. Like that's, he comes after me. I know shame. He comes after you with shame. He comes after me with doubt. And so with doubt, it's really hard to understand what to do. Where do I go? Like, it's just a ball of confusion. Like, how do I get out of this mess? What's my next step? Like, how do I get through this? Where do I go? Who do I reach out to? Like, it's just all these questions with no answers. And so I've had to seek him on, how do I navigate this? When I can't fully hear your voice or know where to go. And he, through parenthood, has taught me God's design. And to look at how did he design for this to be? And just like you said, two by two, he created Adam and he said, Adam being alone was not good. So God's design is not for us to be alone. So it's to walk together. So if somebody's going through something that is a death, they haven't experienced the life, they're not through the thick of it, the number one thing is to not be alone. So to not be alone, you spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
Not on social media, not numbing, not drinking, not Netflix. Spend time with Jesus in prayer, in listening to sermons, in reading the Word of God yourself. Even if you're like, gosh, this seems like a foreign book, find a translation that speaks to you and just get in it.
Yeah,
and
New Living Translation is really a good option for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then sometimes I really just love the message. It's so beautiful. But find a translation that you can and just let the words happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like osmosis. The more time you spend in them, the more time, like, eventually they make sense.
Yeah.
And then find trusted people to listen to help you learn more about him.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to do life together.
You told the story, which I was so proud of you for. It's a very vulnerable part of your story, of your dad basically strangling your mom for getting you a pair of shoes. And that was really a vow moment for you, where you're saying, I'm never going to be reliant on a man. I'm never going to let a man do this to me. And I'm never going to be in a position where a man could hurt me like this, right?
Yeah.
And that was a real, I mean, that's a real cornerstone of not only what teed up that next time in your life, but also of your healing and how God has healed you. What was it like for you telling that story for the first time? And what do you think you really wanted soldiers to take away from that story?
Well, I think I was so, and I heard from soldiers that things with their dad came up. Yeah. And so that was, you know, one of my prior mentors said that our mess becomes our message. And then that we become the messenger. And that just totally plays in line with what God calls us to do, to share our testimony. And it's part of my testimony. And my dad isn't the villain. He was doing the best that he could at the time. And now he does better because he knows better.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might have that same journey where their parents do heal. Some people will have to let God heal their heart because their parents won't choose that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all on a journey. And somebody said to me recently, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. There's just children of God.
Mm.
And so, like, my dad is a child of God, and I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Our son is a child of God. And so God loves each one of us uniquely. But he's the savior of each one of us. So
including the person who wounds us, abuses us. Yeah.
That's right. So we're not called to be, I wasn't called to fix my dad.
Yeah.
I was called to pursue God and to let him heal me. And in that healing and in, you know, his work with my dad, we now have a relationship where I feel safe and I feel, but I could never have fixed that. There's no way.
Yeah. And for you to get to a point where you're telling that story, you know, in front of people as from a point of victory where you now have a good relationship with your dad.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real message of hope and a death to life message for people that are listening to this. You know, Rachel had a dad that strangled his mom, you know, in front of her for buying her a pair of shoes. And that's a level of abuse, of trauma, you know, those types of things. Like we weren't designed to be in those types of situations within the family unit as we're growing up. And so if there are areas of your life that you can relate to with those types of abuse, the death to life message for you is that God can take that and he can work it for good. There is nothing that he can't take from death to life because he took his own son who was abused and murdered and beaten and crucified and all of these things, and he took him from death to life. And that is the example of what he's capable of doing and what he promises he will do for anyone who trusts him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that's why I love the Bible so much, because it's so applicable to our lives. So when we're in the thick of what you just talked about, the Bible talks to us, you know? Like, I can relate to so many aspects of the disciples' journey.
Yeah.
And now, decades later, as I'm on the other side of it with my father, I reread it and I relate in different ways. I relate more to Mary. And here's the thing. I think of Earth as a school. We are just passing by. It says that we're not, this is not our home. We're on our way. So we're always going to be growing. We're always going to becoming something. We're always going to be on a journey. We're always going to have a story. Some stories will come to a close. We'll start other stories. We have an overarching story. Like, we're always going to be in the middle of it, but we need to stay with the person who has written our story from the beginning of time to help us navigate.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love Hebrews.
I think it's, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about on this deeper conversation, this debrief, that Jesus can take any situation from death to life because he overcame death, hell, and the grave. But there's also the power of salvation and what salvation truly means. Yeah. And it means that all of your sin and everything that you've ever done wrong, all the sin, all the guilt, all the shame, everything that you could carry in your conscious and your subconscious, Jesus paid for on the cross. And he took that payment and he made it before a holy God. And he made it possible so that you can have a relationship with a holy God. Every other type of religion is saying you have to create the path. The Eastern religion, you're going to find your peace. If you want to get into spirituality, it's all about you figuring all these things out and you doing all the work and you checking all these boxes. But in the path of following Jesus, he has done the work for you to be saved and to have a relationship with a living God. And so when we think about the resurrection, and what we're getting ready to celebrate on Easter, there is a joy that should come up that we do not have to carry our sin or the burden of sin and that we have the gift of eternal life. And I think we lose that today.
Yeah.
There's so much self-help. There's Joe Rogan. Everyone's trying to get more sunlight. And, you know, there's a million different things to give you a better life and a better body and a better whatever. And, man, the simplicity of the gospel cannot lose its power because it's what saves a man. It's what saved me and it's what saved you.
Yeah, well, part of that is because we have a culture that doesn't talk about death. Like, we're all going to die and none of us know when. So I love it in, I love this book, Practicing the Way, but in it he talks about monks. They used to have skulls as reminders.
Yeah, that's right.
That they would die. Mm. And they would have open graves on the monastery for them. And they, as they walked the monastery, they would see their grave and they don't know when it's going to be time for them to go. But that helped them to stay disciplined. And obviously the life of a monk is much different than us. But when we're talking about abiding, it's being in two places at once. It's actually not different. Mm-hmm. We can spend time with him as we're working, as we're, no matter what our task is, as we're with our family. It's just this awareness of his presence. I'm always talking with him, whether out loud or not. He is with me. He is for me. And so it is that abiding. And it's knowing that our days are numbered and our culture fears death. I mean, just even the Human Genome Project and all of these things that are coming out are to extend our life, to not die.
Yeah.
When in fact, the Bible says, don't be afraid, don't fear, don't love your life.
Yeah. Well, it's all being created because people want to live in their sin and they love their life and they want it to go forever. So, you know,
to avoid the
impending doom. And I'm sorry, but it just doesn't work that way. And God is the one who has the final say.
God is real, y'all.
Yeah.
Read Revelation.
He's the one who has the final say, and he's literally given the playbook of how it's all going to play out. So we want to deeply encourage you today, you know, go listen to Rachel's message. The keys that's really going to bring power into your life is to believe in Jesus. As we're entering into this Easter season, where can you believe him for? We've got some things we're believing him for and some financial things that are going on where we had a leaky sink and now we've got, you know, we might have to do some remediation and, you know, finances there. And, you know, there's just areas we were driving here and Rachel, you literally said, we have to believe and we need to pray. And I had that moment of like, oh, you know, because I'm frustrated. And it's like, I'm challenged right now. No, I need to believe in God for this situation and trust him with our finances.
We're in the middle of it,
yeah. Right? We need to be with Jesus. And we do that through reading his word, through scripture memorization, which I know I've been really diving into in the beginning of this year. We had a young gal at our church on Sunday. She recited Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Literally three recited chapters. Three chapters.
Which we find that impressive, but the underground church in China has the entire New Testament memorized.
And so we're seeing this and it's going, man, we need to be memorizing scripture.
Because then it's written in our heart. That's the process of rewiring our brain is what we have memorized. So when we talk about mental maps, that's a memorized way of something, getting from point A to point B. So when we memorize scripture, we create a mental map for that in our brain.
Yeah. For it to be played out.
Yeah. And I love how our pastor, Darren, when he talks about Christ and he talks about the gospel, he says it's the shame off you. There is no shame
on this. That's so powerful. We should do a special episode just on mental maps.
Yeah.
Help it understand that. It's so powerful. And then lastly, so it's to believe, it's to be with Jesus, and to become like Jesus. And that last one is really hard because we are stuck in our personalities and we have the things that we want to cling to in this world, but we are called to become like Christ. And the Bible says to be an imitator of Christ and to look at who he was, why he did what he did, and how he did life and go, I'm going to imitate the way that this man was. Mm-hmm. And that's a high calling.
And it doesn't stop. It is as long as you are alive, that is the calling over and over and over, to keep unbecoming who we've been and to become more like he's created us to be.
Amen.
Like him.
Guys, we love you. We're here to support you. Continue to follow the podcast. Would you like, subscribe, leave us a comment. Guys, walk with us so we can share and we can get this podcast out to more military veterans and their families around the country so that they can live on destiny just like you are. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.
God bless.